The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good afternoon. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools. Thanks for tuning in. Today happens to be Monday, August 24th. We have about an hour broadcast, and our topic is the reopening of our schools, which is certainly a hot topic around the country. And I just want to open. I'm tired of planning for it. I want to, at this point, get our schools open. Can't wait to see the students. We are excited. We have a lot to share. We concluded about a half dozen town halls last week. We'll have another one this Wednesday just for our kindergarten families and talk about the in-person model up at That's so strange, in-person model. It's so weird. We'll talk about our kindergarten program up at Pine Island, and that'll be Wednesday evening. And we always post the town halls online. So thanks for tuning in. Today, what I thought I would mix it up a little bit, and rather sort of reviewing the same material over and over, I've asked some of my colleagues to call in throughout the district, and I'm referring specifically to our principals, principals, and I'm going to start my first pal from Sanfordville Elementary School, Mrs. Jonna Mariah. Hi, Jonna. How are you?
Hi. Good morning or afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling in. I know you're busy at the school and getting ready, and I thought it'd be nice to touch base with each principal. And what did I ask you to do? Come up with those five things you just have to know, or you know, top five list, or reopening?
Sure, sure.
So how are things going?
Well, thank you for having me. And yes, it's very busy over here. But I would say one of the top things I want everybody to know is we are very excited to welcome back our students and our staff. Our halls and classrooms have been quiet for way too long, and we cannot wait to fill them with our students, and our teachers and our monitors and aides are all excited to come back and be with our kids too. So I would say that's probably number one. Another thing I would certainly like to share is that we have all spent a great deal of time this summer collaborating with colleagues and experts and doing research on really what's the best procedures and practices to create the safest environment for our students to return to, preparing our classrooms for social distancing and creating signage throughout the hallways that help students know where they got to go and get there safely. Another thing would certainly be that whether our students are here in person, whether they're following an in-person hybrid model or distance learning, our staff has spent a great deal of time with professional development and working with our consultants to really craft a curriculum that will meet the needs of our students and ensure that they are learning those power standards.
Now, I know that some of those terms are interchangeable. In addition, we certainly have listeners that likely don't have children in school. So just a reminder, so Sanfordville, this typically has grades K through 4, kindergarten, first, second, third, and fourth grade. This year, you'll have first grade through fourth grade. First graders and second graders will come to school every day. And they'll be in much smaller classroom settings, working with a teacher or an instructional aide, but about 10, 11 students in a classroom, I believe, is the estimate.
Absolutely.
And so we've got the first grade and second grade in every day, and then we use that term hybrid. That means coming to school every other day, literally every other day, so that, you know, Mrs. Smith's a third grade teacher. She has 20 students, 10 come in today, which is an A day, another 10 come in tomorrow, which is a B day, and it continues with that pattern, which allows us to do the physical distancing and to follow the CDC guidelines. Talk to me about, you know, what is, you mentioned signage around the building. What's that all about?
Well, of course, we wanted to provide our students and staff with continuous reminders of how to stay safe. So we've created in our hallways a keep to the right method where we have arrows down on the floor with students keeping to the right. We have signage that reminds of social distancing of 6 feet apart. We have little reminders and help in the bathrooms. If you're standing online for the sink, where's the best place to stand? Reminders about having our masks on, as well as if you are entering a classroom, making sure that it's safe distance and the safe number of people in the room.
Yeah, no, a lot of planning. It certainly has gone in to preparing for this year, Jonna. I know we only had a few minutes to catch up, but what I learned from you is everyone just can't wait to see our students. A lot of preparation, whether it's signage or it's curriculum or professional development work, and things are going well. And we're on target at Sanford Elementary School to open on September, I want to say 8th. Do I have the right date? September 8th.
Oh, yeah, we're ready.
That's terrific. Well, thank you, Jonna, for calling in a few minutes of your time, and I hope you have a great day. I'll catch up with you soon.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
Have a great day.
Bye now.
And when we return, perhaps something you don't know. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools.
It's no secret that people are keeping their vehicles longer and driving them further than ever before. That's why at Leo Kadas Ford, every new and certified pre-owned vehicle we sell includes a lifetime and unlimited mileage powertrain warranty. Ford, Chevy, Toyota, Honda, we have them all. Any dealership can offer you 0%. Any dealership can talk about their great selection. But only Leo Kadas Ford can offer you the Kadas Advantage. As long as you own your vehicle, we have you covered. Engine, turbocharger, transmission, transfer case, and the drive system. And looking for service? Let our state-of-the-art service department take care of you with old-time values. With our tire price guarantee, we guarantee you the best price around. Need some time to pay? No problem. Take up to 6 months with the Ford service card. Every vehicle is sanitized both before and after we work on it. Cars really do cost less at Kadas. Leo Kadas Ford. Quality you can trust. Warwick, New York.
The Clover Stables is a first-class facility in Rock Tavern, New York, offering state-of-the-art boarding with rubber-matted stalls, plus metered Nelson automatic waterers, its own fan, individual or group daily turnout, wash stalls with heat lamps, grooming stalls, vet and farrier stalls, and much more, plus a 224-by-80-foot indoor arena with travel-right dust-free footing. To learn more or to schedule a private tour, visit the CloverStables.com.
This is attorney Bob Krahulik of the law firm Beatty & Krahulik, the lawyer guy. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 noon for the latest legal advice and tips. We're taking calls and giving answers to all your legal questions. That's every Tuesday at 12 noon on radio worth listening to.
WTVQ. Welcome back. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools. Thanks for tuning in. If you're just joining us, today is Monday, August 24th, and we are focused on our reopening of the Warwick Valley Central School District. And, you know, I was saying in the last segment, I had an opportunity to catch up with Jonna Mariah, the principal at Sanfordville Elementary School. And I was just commenting on how it just feels strange to continue to talk about reopening and in-person instruction versus remote instruction versus hybrid. And I just want to, you know, we're all eager and excited just to get the school year started. A lot of hard work throughout the spring and summer to get to this point. Infection rates low in New York. Last time I checked, below 1%. So I think the time is to reopen our schools, of course, with lots of safety and health measures taken. So now joining me, someone you may not know, if you listened daily or haven't had an opportunity to meet yet, and that is Bill Binieris, who is the principal at Park Avenue. Hello, Principal Binieris. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Leach. I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling in. Just for anyone who is new to the area, and we have to always remember that. We do have folks moving in from the real estate market's pretty pretty hot from what brokers tell me, and new students joining us. So we have typically now in a given year, we have two elementary schools, Sanfordville Elementary School and Park Ave Elementary School, and they service usually grades K through 4. However, this year we are reopening this beautiful elementary school, Pine Island Elementary School, that has been closed for about a decade, and it will be the site for our kindergarten program. And it is just gorgeous, and can't wait to start posting some videos and showing off that that learning space and that beautiful, the history of that school. It's sort of Norman Rockwell's now meeting, you know, the I don't know, Steve Jobs. I mean, it's just like, you know, you've got these beautiful interactive televisions, but then you look over and you've got this beautiful bookshelf built into the wall, and you look out the back, the view of the back, and it's just, it's gorgeous. So, Bill, thanks for joining me. Principal of Park Ave this year, grades 1 through 4, first and second graders attending every day, 5 days a week, third and fourth graders every other day in this hybrid model. You know, I asked each principal to think of five notable items or points to share. We have a few minutes. How are things going?
Things are going well, Dr. Leach. And, you know, as we think about those five things, it's hard to select them. However, you know, at some point you realize you want to focus on those items that are on parents' minds the most. And so all plans should revolve around and rest on firm core principles. And I think in terms of what we're dealing with here, we wanted to make sure that health and safety remained at the forefront of everything we did. And so we took some pretty painstaking efforts to make sure that all of our kids would have access to a traditional classroom environment, albeit with some changes that would ensure that we kept the physical distance required. So consequently, each of our classrooms here at Park Avenue right now are organized with enough individual desks or tables to make sure that we were able to achieve those goals. The decision that you mentioned about Pine Island being opened allowed us to divide each of our first and second grade classes into two separate groups and spread those children out using the vacated kindergarten classrooms. So each classroom right now is set up so that we never have more than 12 children in each of those rooms. We've set up the additional outdoor classrooms that you've talked about a lot during our town halls and in other forums. Those outdoor classrooms are equipped with Wi-Fi, and our teachers will have the option to teach outside, giving the children the opportunity to take some mask breaks without sacrificing any of the important learning that remains at the center of our commitments. We also will have some other outdoor spaces as well. There's a huge lawn outside our main entrance that we want to take advantage of in terms of our physical education program and even for some other types of opportunities and learning as well. There's so much more in terms of health and safety. I don't want to take up too much time. I do think the one thing that sometimes, you know, is important to repeat is that all parents should be speaking to their kids about coming back to school. I know that they've gone through a very uncertain time being absent for so long from the actual building, you know, despite the fact that there was ongoing learning. But just speak to your children, make sure they understand that we are doing everything to make sure they're safe, that their teachers are here, they care for them, love them, and we'll do everything to make sure that they're safe. And I think, you know, in delicate terms also, you know, invariably, I think at some point folks will get sick, and not necessarily from the coronavirus, but just the most basic you know, illness, a common cold or whatnot, could prove to be ridden with some anxiety for kids. And so preparing them for that is important in my mind. Now, it's important to share the typical day won't be the same as in previous years. As you just mentioned, first and second graders will spend about half their day with their primary teacher and the remaining with an instructional aide, their encore teachers, which are their physical education, art, music teachers, and so forth. And they'll also be at lunch and recess. But despite that, we tried our best to create an instructional schedule that does maximize the amount of time spent in instruction. In most cases, children will be with their teachers for 2 to 3 hours without pause. And what I mean by that is teachers, of course, will use their judgment to make sure kids get breaks and can move and go to the bathroom and take a mask break. But we have reserved a pretty solid time there for ongoing learning, academic learning to take place, which I think needs to be highlighted. And beyond that, we want to make sure that we're continuing those encore classes that I mentioned earlier. And so I think these are pretty impressive things, you know, that we've accomplished despite some pretty challenging parameters due to the coronavirus. as has been discussed in the past, this past spring was presented us with, as a crash course in remote learning, and I believe we all rose to the occasion. But we recognize that we can improve. And so one area where I feel we're much better positioned for the upcoming school year is in the use of our different educational technologies that can help kids and parents with an alternative entry point to the required learning. So parents can expect to see the use of tools such as Google Classroom, which for many, prior to this was an unknown tool, and now I think it's safe to say pretty much most people are familiar with it. And so that tool will be used to organize lessons and assignments that give everyone, parents and students, a clearer understanding of what's happening in school and what to expect, in the coming days and weeks in school. So I think that's a pretty important tool. And, of course, I think homeschool communication should take many forms so that everybody's needs are met. And so lastly, I know that's a mouthful, but lastly, I do want to briefly share some changes that will be necessary here at Park during arrival and dismissal. Our temperature screeners are positioned in two different areas in our building. One will be in our main entrance and the other in our cafeteria, where all children and staff will come through. So we want to make sure that everybody who comes to school, including our children, come in through that main entrance. What I mean by that is the kids not coming in with the bus. So I just want to clarify that. I apologize. So why is this important? In the past here at Park Avenue, we've had this kiss-and-go lane where a lot of parents would pull up with their cars, drop off children, and proceed. Unfortunately, that lane will be closed. We don't have a temperature screener at that entrance. And so all drop-offs will be outside our main entrance. We're asking parents to drop off children curbside. We will have staff positioned outside to make sure that children enter the buildings safely, and they can go after that. After entering, they can go through our screening process to make sure everybody is, entering the building is not sick. We know that we may be presented with very unexpected challenges during this year, but we're committed to remaining responsive. We will work together with you, with parents, staff, students, to make sure that whatever changes are necessary will be made to address any issues. Again, I think out of all of those very important things, I would just say at this point, as we approach the school year, parents, please speak to your children to make sure they feel safe at all times.
Thank you, Bill. I think that's great advice. And, you use the word change or changes a few times. And just about 20 minutes ago, Governor Cuomo announced that certain high school sport teams would be allowed to begin playing on September 21st in New York, while other sports were deemed that are to be higher risk may have to push that pause button slightly, including football. So he identified these low-risk sports, they called them, that could sort of kick off on the 21st. So those are at least four sports for us. They're soccer, swimming, cross country, and tennis. According to Governor Cuomo, they would now be permitted to resume playing. However, we would not be allowed to travel outside of our region. Mm-hmm. And schools, he'll have a little bit of time to gauge how things are going up until the 21st. But he did, when referencing football, like a high-risk sport or higher-risk sport like football, that we would be allowed to practice, but we have not yet received the green light to play games against other teams. So that could all potentially be resuming on the 21st, which we weren't necessarily anticipating that. Mm-hmm. So that could be some good news for some of our athletes that are anxiously awaiting a little bit of feedback. And but in terms of getting back to Park Avenue, the enhancements you've made with the outdoor classrooms, which I know also be at the other schools, but particularly at Park, that should go a long way.
It should, and we're very lucky and fortunate to have that type of outdoor space in all of our buildings, of course. And here at Park, for those that either may be familiar or not, the space that has been set up for outdoor classrooms here is right by that kiss and go lane that I made mention to earlier, right by one of our playgrounds. It's a really, really nice area under some tree cover. So there are some huge benches there for children to sit down, and a nice workspace for teachers as well too. And so I think not only does it help us achieve those goals of taking that, break time from the inside of the building, but it's actually a very pleasant place for children to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Bill, and next time we'll hopefully be catching up on some of the learning that's taking place and programs that are being offered at the school and give the folks an update how the year is going. But until then, we appreciate you reaching out for a few minutes this morning, and our listeners get to hear a little bit about what's going on Park Avenue. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Leach. Have a great day.
You too. So when we return, I will have our middle school principal, Georgiana Diopoulos, join us to give us an update of what's going on at the Warwick Valley Middle School. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools.
At the age of 22, just 3 years after starting Millsbaugh Furniture, the American Civil War began. My great-great-great-grandfather, T.L. Millsbaugh, had to figure out how to make this new business survive. The Spanish flu pandemic hit when my great-great-grandfather was at the helm. A century ago, my great-grandfather faced doing business during the Great Depression and then World War II while his son was serving the U.S. Navy overseas on the Bushnell. In recent history, my father brought us through the housing recession in 2008. Now, just a few months after officially signing documents to be the next generation of Millsbaugh to own and operate Millsbaugh Furniture, I know that we will come through this as well. Just like those before me, I will rely on the same philosophies as my ancestors to provide you with exceptional customer service and beautiful non-disposable furniture and mattresses. If you have recently found the comfort and support of your furniture and mattresses in need of improvement, let my furniture counselors show you what makes our products the best value for you while helping to make your best buying decisions. Sturdy, elegant, comfortable, timeless. That's Millsbaugh Furniture since 1858.
Weather affects us on a daily basis. The local forecast is the first thing people check before they start their day. Well, what happens when life and property have already been impacted by the weather? Over the past 30 years, our staff of AMS Certified Consulting Meteorologists, led by myself, Tommy Else, and Company President Frank Lombardo, have produced thousands of expert weather-related reports for the insurance and legal industry. Cases we have worked on consist of slip and falls, floods, lightning strikes, wind damage, hail, and many more. If your case involves personal injury, property damage, loss of business, workman's comp, or any other matter related to weather, we are your experts. For more information, visit pastweatherreport.com or call us at 908-867-8350. Mention our radio ad for a free initial analysis with a forensic meteorologist. When you think about weather, think WeatherWorks.
Hi, it's Paul Ruskevich,
Barry Cheney,
and John Vero,
Orange County legislators on the Thursday morning roundtable, 9 to 10 a.m.
Answering all of your questions and concerns
on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ weather.
For this afternoon, we're looking at a partly sunny sky. It is very warm and humid with perhaps some isolated storms developing in spots, highs nearing 90. Any lingering shower or storm ends through about 10 or 11 o'clock, then it's partly cloudy, lows in the upper 60s. Tuesday, mixed sun and clouds, very warm. Watch for late showers and storms again, turning breezy, 85 to 90. And Tuesday evening, a few early clouds, then mainly clear, 55 to 60. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm WeatherWorks meteorologist Michael Prianti.
The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
WTBQ.
Welcome back. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools on WTBQ. Today is Monday, August 24th, and once again, our topic is reopening our schools, and we are excited as the first day of school for students is approaching rather quickly. So September 8th is the first day where students will be in our schools. However, there's a lot going on between now and then. In fact, has been going on the past few months, even back to the spring, and planning to reopen. And someone who's been a key contributor to that is our principal at Warwick Valley Middle School, Mrs. Georgiana Diopoulos. Georgiana, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Leach. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So how are you and what's going on at our middle school?
We are excited for the school year to get started. If today is any indication of how excited staff is to be in our fifth grade hallway, the teachers are here. They're starting to set up their rooms. They're very excited to have their students in front of them this year. We've been working really hard at a district level to figure out how we can get our students physically in person in front of our teachers throughout while maintaining safety
during this time. So we've been really focused on health and safety quite a bit and how we can utilize the guidelines that have come down from New York State Ed to create a middle school model that will work for our students.
Certainly. So I had, yeah, we appreciate that, and we understand so much goes into planning for the restart of schools. And, you know, I was thinking once in a while when my children were younger, I would, you know, either peek through the window to see, hey, what does a school look like? Or I'm sure there's some kindergarten parents that are anxious up in Pine Island. And you'll peek through around August 24th, and, you know, the floors might look polished, and the building may look clean, but then you also may notice, you know, dozens of boxes and bulletin mm-hmm. boards aren't up yet. And it all sort of comes together like magic a few days before school starts. So what are those, you know, those big topics or areas that you and your team have been focused on and some information you want to get out there to our listeners, particularly those who have children in grades 5, 6, 7, or 8?
I know middle school is a very anxious time, and I know our fifth graders coming into the building for the first time are getting those, you know, first day of school jitters. And I think one of the biggest things that we work on every year is that we just want our students to know that we care about them. We want them to be here. We want them to feel comfortable, and that we, every single adult in this building, is here to help them, answer their questions, and guide them to where they need to be. So first and foremost, I never want anybody to worry if they're going to not make it to a class or, you know, get a little turned around in the building. If it's their first time in the building, we will definitely, we are always there to guide them in the right direction. And this year, it will look a little bit different. There's definitely going to be more signage up in the building, guiding students in as to which direction to walk down a hallway. We have kind of changed our traffic flow quite a bit and designated certain doors as entrance doors and certain doors as exit doors. I think parents that are dropping their children off on the first day of school, we have maintained our parent pickup road. However, this year, we are accepting students at 7:15 in the morning. So if you're dropping your child off, you can start dropping them off at 7:15 a.m. as we will have someone available at the front door to let your child into the building, take their temperature, and guide them to their classroom.
Now, help me understand. So, you know, in the past, because of the amount of traffic over a short period of time in front of the high school and middle school, of course, with drop-off, it can get a little congested, and I think things have certainly improved a lot over the last 5 years mm-hmm. on how that all flows, but nevertheless, it can be a headache, I imagine, for a parent dropping off. But in this year, with so many students electing not to ride the school bus, or families not electing that transportation, given the coronavirus and concerns they have, or wanting to have more physical distancing on the bus to keep everyone safe, how's this all going to work? Is it, you know, what's your thinking about that? You know, are you thinking you're going to have more cars, or not necessarily, or walk us through that a little bit?
I would imagine, you know, the drop-off and pick-up at the middle school can be quite hectic, and the line does get quite long. So we are enlisting the assistance of our security guards and our SRO officer to direct traffic. And we do ask that parents, you know, pull all the way up to the end of the pickup road, drop your child off, and keep going. I know we all want to see them kind of walk through that front door, but we really do need to keep that traffic moving and flowing. And students will start to be let in at 7:15. So you can drop your child off anywhere between 7:15 and I would say 7:35, as our first class starts at 7:40. So there is a larger window, whereas in the past it was drop-off is at 7:30, class starts at 7:40. So
right.
We are providing families with a significant amount of more time to go through that process in the morning.
Yeah, that should certainly help. And if you figure your building for in-person instruction, you've got the hybrid model. So right there can be no more than half the students. But then you have another 20% engaging in remote instruction. So rather than 1,100 students in the building on a given day, it feels like you're probably going to be more around, I'm guessing a little bit, but the 500 or 400,
around 475, which is going to feel interesting. to have the building. You know, we're used to so many kids in the building and the hustle and bustle and the energy that is given off by 1,100 students. So it will definitely feel a bit different. And I would imagine that given, you know, so many parents choosing to drive their child to and from school, that the pickup road, although may be different and have different times, it'll probably feel very similar to what we typically have in a typical year.
Absolutely. So what else is cooking at the middle school?
We're excited for school to get started. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, we want to just reinforce with our families, and we ask for your assistance in getting your child used to wearing a mask, because they will be required to wear a mask during the school day. And then we're also figuring out ways in which to provide the students with opportunities to let out a little energy. So we definitely are encouraging all of our teachers to bring their classes outside as much as possible. We've designated probably about 6 different outdoor spaces that our teachers can utilize throughout the day. And we are definitely moving forward with recess for our kiddos. So lunch, although lunch will be eaten in a classroom on a daily basis, we are putting together a plan so that our students can go out and get, you know, play outside and have a recess time. And that's so important at this age.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I think that's certainly such important planning that you're engaging in. And you know, the idea of, you know, wearing a mask all day, while it's necessary and a non-negotiable for our students and staff to have masks on, you're putting a lot of thought into exactly, you know, how to make this work, because we know it's certainly not ideal when we're hosting our own meetings or back in the district office or at the middle school, when you're, you know, wearing that mask all day, your glasses start to fog up a little bit. And, you know, fortunately we have our buildings have central air. So you do hear about buildings that, around the state that maybe don't and can get hot, whatever. But I like the idea of the mask breaks. That's for sure. So you're thinking the kids will actually get more opportunities than a typical year to get out in the back of the school and get some fresh air, maybe go around the track or.
Definitely. Absolutely. Definitely we'll be sending some classes down to the track for recess while other classes are up on the in the bus lot. We want to provide enough separation so students can maintain the adequate social distancing so that they can take their masks off. So we're working out just different cycles and patterns for students to get out there as much as possible.
And what about what is remote instruction going to look like for those students who are not that elected that full time, or what will it look like for students on the day that they're not in session for those that are going every other day?
So we have a couple of things going on in the middle school. We have, based on developmental levels, provided a hybrid model that is appropriate for the students' ages. So our 5th and 6th grade hybrid model looks different than our 7th and 8th grade hybrid model. For our students that are coming into the building on an alternating day basis, on the day that they're not physically in the building in 5th and 6th grade, there is a third teacher that will be working directly with their team of teachers to maintain continuous fluid instruction for them. So the students will have this third go-to person who will be in the school building, and they'll get to meet on the first 2 days of school so that they know who they are and, you know, will recognize them when they see them on the Google Meets, who is really at their disposal on those days that they're home participating in distance learning to work with them, answer questions, move the instruction forward. So we're excited about that. We've nicknamed them our hybrid heroes, or our hybrid hero teachers, mm-hmm. who are really going to keep instruction flowing and fluid for our 5th and 6th graders. And when you go to the other side of our house, 7th and 8th grade, their developmental levels are a little bit higher, and they are working differently. They are compartmentalized. They're on teams of 4 teachers, different teacher for every subject. They take on a foreign language, and then there's some specificities to everybody's schedule in the 7-12 model, if you will, that we wanted to make sure when we were putting our hybrid plan together that we did not limit choice academically for our students. So because of that, we came up with our hybrid model that when students are in school, they're in school, they get their lesson, but when they're on home and they're learning remotely, they are Google Meeting into the live instruction on the days that they're not in there so that we can continue, again, provide students with continuous fluid instruction and without sacrificing any choice or specific academic needs or wants that our students have. So we're excited to provide them with that opportunity as well. And then for our students who have elected the Distance Learning Academy, our 7th and 8th graders in the Distance Learning Academy will be streaming into their classes on a daily basis, which I love that idea because it really makes them part of the school. I think that's really important, that we want all of our students, no matter what decision their families made for their learning for this school year, that they feel part of the middle school. So when we have a Spirit Week, we want our Distance Learning Academy kids to participate in that Spirit Week. Send us pictures and we'll put them up on our district, our building Instagram account. Please follow us on Instagram. We take tons of pictures and just let you see what the school day is like and how your child is doing throughout the day.
Well, thank you so much, Georgiana, for spending, you know, a few minutes with us this afternoon, giving us an update. We're excited about our students returning to all our schools, and of course our middle school is an important part of our plan. So thank you again for your time, and we will speak to you when the school year gets started about all the exciting learning taking place in the 2020-21 school year. So thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And just a reminder to our students and families, a significant number of individuals with COVID-19 have no symptoms and can transmit the virus through respiratory droplets. So these droplets, as we all know, they're released through coughing, sneezing, loud speaking, singing, etc. So the mask acts as a barrier. It decreases the amount of respiratory droplets released into the air. And while there's no perfect solution, no perfect barrier, it is one of the best tools that we had to prevent the spread of COVID-19, along with physical distancing, which is also a part of our plan. So we appreciate everyone for adhering to that sort of non-negotiable. And when we return, I'll have our high school principal on, Marguerite Fusco. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools.
Don't take car safety for granted. Subaru hasn't. Subaru has more 2020 Insurance Institute for Highway Safety Pick Plus winning vehicles than Honda, Toyota, and Hyundai brands combined. Along with top honors in Safety Plus, Subaru has also delivered the perfect SUV to accommodate everyone and everything in the new three-row 2020 Subaru Ascent. Visit us online at waynesubaru.com to schedule your showroom visit today.
Sam's Meat has been supplying restaurants and shops with the highest quality local and sustainably sourced prime and choice wholesale meat, steaks, poultry, seafood, and much more for over 20 years. Whether you're a small family butcher shop or a busy steakhouse, expect A1 service and the finest products available. Call Sam's at 845-651-MEAT or visit the store right off Route 17A in Florida, New York for the highest quality products at unbeatable prices.
When your computer goes down, ask anyone in town and they'll say,
I know a guy.
The computer guy.
Need a new monitor or a new mouse? Or you don't have the right cables or adapters around your house?
I know a guy.
The computer guy.
Got a virus or slow booting up? Could be a problem or just a hiccup.
I know a guy.
The computer guy.
It's their knowledge and experience that makes them great. Call the computer guy at 988-0708 in Warwick, Florida, and Goshen. Not just a name, a solution.
I know a guy.
The computer guy.
Curaleaf is the finest medical cannabis dispensary in Orange County and is known for high quality, reliable, and effective medical marijuana products, which are available in a variety of formats and strains. Curaleaf's sole mission is to improve your health and well-being. Curaleaf is conveniently located in Newburgh off Route 84 at 8 North Plank Road. To locate a physician or for more information, visit ny.curaleaf.com.
Tune into the Nonprofit Notebook, your resource for and about people helping people. Learn about all the events and services available for you, friends, or family. Open your Nonprofit Notebook Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Radio worth listening to.
WTBQ.
Welcome back. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools. Today's Monday, August 24th. In this broadcast, like Our past several broadcasts is focused on the reopening, restarting of the Warwick Valley Central School District. Earlier on, if you're just tuning in, I've had the principal at each level, each school, call in and just give us an update of how planning is going. In a minute, we'll have our principal at the high school join us. I just want to remind everyone, you know, right before the break, I mentioned the importance of wearing a mask, which I think the vast majority of our students and families understand that and agree. You know, what kind of mask is best for a child? We're leaving that up to families. You know, children can wear homemade or purchase cloth face coverings or surgical masks. You know, we're more focused on that right fit, that right fit is important for them, for children. Mask, you know, they need to cover the nose and the mouth without any gaps on the sides. So pleated face coverings with elastic are likely to be best for this age group. For children, adult cloth face coverings are usually 6 by 12 inches, and even a child size is 5 by 10 inch covering can be too large for some children. So try to find the right size for your child's face and be sure to adjust it for that secure fit. And of course, if you're wearing those cloth masks, we've got to wash those daily. And, you know, we'll be speaking to the children about the safest way to put a mask on or remove it. You know, we're going to be encouraging that hands should be washed before placement of a mask, and cloth face coverings can then be placed securely over the nose and the mouth and stretched from ear to ear. And that touching the face should be avoided while wearing a mask as best we can. And, you know, you can imagine teaching, having the overseeing 25-year-olds in a kindergarten class, you know, that's going to be a challenge, no doubt. But washing hands before removing the mask and avoiding touching the front of the face and is going to be important. So we'll be giving that a lot of consideration. And a few folks continue to ask us, when will children be allowed to remove their mask? And you know, schools across the country are going to have mask breaks, and that's no different here in Warwick. What we're talking about now is structuring in times when students can take off the mask and have that break. These mask breaks would preferably be outdoors when we can, and we've talked a lot about getting the kids outdoors. Unfortunately, we have outdoor classrooms, and we have campuses that allow us to do that whenever possible, and we'll have to keep the physical distancing in mind, but we will do it. And if children are indoors, it's going to be preferable that the windows be open, whatever possible, particularly during these mask breaks. And these breaks can occur hourly, ideally during quiet reading time or study when students are not speaking. Teachers might consider having alternate rows remove mask at the same time during a break, and then maybe switching. Children may also remove their mask, of course, when they're eating and playing outdoors and during any physical education activities, as long as they keep that physical distancing. So that's been one of the hot topics, or masks and the importance of them. And just wanted to go over some of those basics. And now joining me is Marguerite Fusco from the Warwick Valley High School. Hi, Marguerite.
Hello, Dr. Leach. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for calling in this afternoon. And it's always great for our listeners to hear from the principals at each school and, you know, what is cooking at the high school.
Well, we're ready to open, Dr. Leach. I have to say that we have really greatly missed our students, and the teachers have been coming by the building last week, this week. There's a few teachers here today getting their classroom set up, and all of them are talking about how excited they are to welcome their students back. There's just this feeling of excitement in the hallways, and we're really excited to be back. So with that being said, as excited as we are to open, we want to open in a way that the health and safety of everybody who's going to be in our building is considered. So we've been taking great strides in making sure that our building is set up and to ensure the health and safety guidelines that have been put forward by the state. We have a lot of signage around the building that students will see when they come in, that they're just reminders really about keeping their social distancing and washing their hands and wearing their masks, just little reminders around the building, in addition to signage regarding stairwells that may be up, you know, you can only go up only on some stairwells and down on another. So there's just a lot of signage to help the kids out as they navigate the building. It's going to look a little bit different, but all of it is in an effort to make sure that they're safe.
Well, that's certainly great to hear. Now, what are you anticipating? How many students are you anticipating being in the school, give or take, you know, on a daily basis? And
I would say we're probably at about 45% on any day, so maybe between 500, 550 kids each day. Yeah. Our building is quite large, so even though that may sound like a lot, when you spread that many out throughout the building, it doesn't appear crowded. I would imagine that it doesn't. It won't appear very
no.
crowded.
I mean, we were close to almost three times that, you know,
yeah.
Years ago. And in recent times, around 1350, 1400, you know, probably closer to 1300. But wow, it's definitely going to be weird, you know, when I visit the school and peek through some of the classroom doors and see, you know, half the enrollment or less in the building and all. And it'll be different, but it, you know, significant planning that you've done with your team to keep folks safe. You know, these 75-minute periods that you've devised at the high school, that's probably an important note. You know, many schools around the country, I would imagine, are going to have their typical, not all, but many high schools, their typical 8 or 9 day period, but you've got these 75-minute periods for a day that's going to limit the number of transitions and traffic, and so a lot of thought put into that. And now what about, how has life changed for the teacher in terms of what the instruction looks like? So I know you've got about half the class in person, about half the class at home or going through a device. What's that like, or what's that going to be like?
Well, what it will look like, Dr. Leach, is teachers will live stream their lessons from their classroom. So whether you are in person or part of the Distance Learning Academy, or perhaps you're part of the cohort that's home on alternating days, you're still part of the live classroom, which I think is a nice touch in order to ensure that everybody is getting the same instruction. So what will happen is the teachers will share a link for students to stream in through Google Meets, and they will be able to participate and observe the live lesson that's being delivered in class that day. And then we expect the lesson to last anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes, which could include going over homework, presenting new material, class discussions, debates, whatever it may be. And then afterwards, students will be able to work independently, and the students that are live in person will be able to have some time with their teacher to ask questions and get a little extra help right there in the classroom. And the students who are at home will have the opportunity at the end of the day to sign in to some extra help time that's designated for students who are virtual. So, you know, it's a nice setup in terms of everybody getting the same lesson and being able to move forward every day in our classes. You did mention that there's only four periods per day, you know, that allows students to kind of really focus on just their four classes for those days instead of having to have work for eight periods. But although we're able to schedule for eight classes, the fact that we're only meeting four, I think, is a benefit for the students.
Absolutely. And while I'm not a huge fan of remote instruction for the very young children, and we're going to do our best, that's for sure. And I think based on the circumstances, we have a solid plan in place. I do think at the high school level, we can get closer to that, the benefits of the in-person. There's no substitute for the traditional school experience, from the social, emotional, the interpersonal development, the leadership opportunities, the camaraderie, the friendships, all of those is just indisputable. But doing the best we can in during this pandemic at the high school level, it sounds like they're still going to have their course selection and choices. Some clubs that can run will still run virtually. I did announce earlier in the broadcast that Governor Cuomo has given the green light on some sports, not those high contact sports, to start on the 21st, but sports like tennis and cross country. So
Well, it's definitely important for students to remain involved, and we still want all of our students to be connected to the school, whether it's through their class or through their virtual clubs. And now hearing that we're able to run four of our sports teams, you know, that's a good sign. So student involvement is always important, not only for the social-emotional well-being, but also for the school community. It helps build our community, and it's a very important part for anybody's experience in high school to become part of these clubs and teams. So I'm glad that we're able to still offer them. Additionally, as you had said, the electives, a lot of students really enjoy their elective classes like music and art, STEM, agriculture. All of those courses are still, and all of those programs are still available to students. So we're really happy about that with the 8-period schedule as well. So we're just trying to really create something here where students continue to feel connected to their coursework and to the building and to the community.
That sounds great. Well, thanks for calling in this afternoon, Marguerite, to WKRP in Cincinnati. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Did you ever watch?
I got that joke.
Did you? You did. So you watched? Did you watch WKRP in Cincinnati?
I did. This reminds me very much of that show.
Well, so. I know, doesn't it? Well, listen, there's only one Lonnie Anderson, but Taylor Sterling, I think, may have a leg up on her, to tell you the truth. So,
there's a Marguerite Fusco involved.
There
in
we
it,
go. So Marguerite Fusco. Thanks, Marguerite. Thanks for
All right,
calling
thank
in.
You very much. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
So that's it from an update from the high school. And so, hey, listen, you know, based on the circumstances, I think that we've got a real responsible plan in place here. I'm definitely confident about it. The always unknowns, you know, we could be pivoting at any moment. That's a new word that seems to be, you know, turn on the news now and you hear that. It's just a lot of uncertainty. You know, speaking of uncertainty, you know, the infection rate is always something we're monitoring. Right now it's below 1%. If it rises above 9% on a 7-day rolling average, the governor said he would close schools. So that's something to keep in mind for childcare purposes. And, you know, a few folks have asked me, you know, many schools throughout New York State and most in our region are not opening for in-person instruction on September 8th for different reasons. And I you know, I don't know every community certainly as well as I know my own, but I don't want that to alarm folks here. You know, the planning has been done here for months now to reopen. The infection rate, I can't imagine it's going to get any lower until there's a vaccine. So if you've got the safeguards in place, if you've done significant planning, you've got the physical distancing, then why not? Let's get going. Let's rock and roll. If families want to take advantage of that remote option full time, it's there if they're concerned. For those who want the in-person instruction, we're maximizing it as much we can for a district our size, 3,600 students, every kindergartner, first grade, and second grader in every day, 5 days a week. A lot of schools around the state and the country are in 4 days a week at max, and then they do the hybrid off of the four. There's pros to that, more predictable schedule, admittedly. Cons, losing a lot of instructional time, at least in-person instructional time. So grades 3 through 12, the hybrid model coming in every other day, not ideal. Our parents, I've spoken to many, many, many parents that are struggling to figure this out with childcare, and while some are potting and coming up with ways, creative ways, it's hard, without a doubt. And it could get harder if we don't do our part and this infection rate spikes like some are predicting, then we likely will be on remote instruction. So please speak to your children about following the rules that we have in place regarding masks, regarding physical distancing. You know, once in a while I'm driving through town and I don't always see the students really following the guidelines. And I know that's hard, and I'm not here to critique parents. I just want to get the word out that we've got to do our part. And please speak to your children about that. So that's all for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, this is David Leach, and you have been listening to Your Schools. Bye now.